Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Kate Stillman, author of Body Thrive and Learning New Habits to Get Us Healthy and Happy. So we're going from eliminating properly, eating early in the day, eating our biggest meals, breakfast and lunch. And then we get towards a proper breathing. And you've got some great simple exercises in your book about breathing properly. Can you share some of those with us?
Yeah, sure. So habit four, breath body practices, is more about waking up your entire physiology to oxygen. And so for some people, this is going to be a habit that has a lot of movement. We were in the beginning talking about constitutions. So people with more of a dense constitution are going to, they might just simply honestly be doing like jumping jacks and some burpees and really moving enough to break a sweat. And that for them is going to be stimulating and invigorating for the day ahead. And for other people with a much more delicate constitution, more of like a butterfly type constitution, might enjoy some very, very simple, slow movements, starting on their hands and knees and just doing cat-cow, like in yoga, and slowly getting their breath body moving. So the idea here is, in yoga and in Ayurveda, the breath is how you can orient towards a larger energy force or a larger energy field. And so we don't want you to exercise and be, you know, listening to rap music or something like that, which is like super fun and invigorating, but might distract us from our breath. Instead, we want to use the breath to wake up our body into the pulsation of expanding and contracting and expanding and contracting and generating that rhythm or that current through the body.
Hmm. You had one little exercise I think you did with your daughter with just deep breathing out to the ah. Was that in the same section?
Oh, yeah. So that we did. That actually, I put that one in the early to bed or go to bed early part. And the reason is because often when we're in wired and tired, or often with kids, they're excited and they don't want the day to end. And so when she was really little, we started doing this. And she's 11 now, and we still sometimes do it if I notice she's having a hard time winding down. And it's a very simple exercise. We can all actually just do it together, whoever's listening. Sure. Is you inhale, and then as you exhale, you can exhale through your mouth and say the word, ah. Ah. And that longer ah gets you to exhale a little bit more deeply, so you're accessing the lower lobes of your lungs. And it starts to release the stress of the day and that sort of upward momentum. It starts to reverse that into the downward momentum. So after a few ah breaths, and people can inhale through their nostrils and exhale through their mouth, after a few rounds of that, what often happens is you notice you yawn. And that's how you notice, okay, my energy's now it's going down. And you often will feel much more relaxed. And it's a great thing for adults and children alike to do before turning out the lights.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Then you go on to the fueling yourself with the plant-based diet. So your family's vegetarian then?
No, we're actually not. But the idea to me is like, how connected are you to your ecosystem? So where I live in Wyoming, and it's more or less it's ranch country and farm country. And how connected am I to the plants that are in my ecosystem? And so the animals are also eating the plants in the ecosystem too. So sourcing locally, getting outside, getting connected is what I'm trying to connect people into their ecology, starting to recognize that we have a body to take care of, we have an ecosystem to take care of. And plant-based diet was an easy way for me to capture that sentiment, just tuning people in to, okay, what's growing around me? And how do I bring more nutrient-dense foods in? And plants are incredibly nutrient-dense as we wake up to all the different pharmacopoeia in our ecosystem, what plants grow natively and also just what happens to now thrive in our ecosystems. That's really the orientation of that chapter, is just get people a lot more connected to nutrient-dense foods. So where I live, for instance, the invasive weeds are everywhere. They're on all continents now, including Antarctica. And they're often incredibly nutrient dense, like more nutrient dense than the food that's in the health food store. So where I live, there's lots of thistle and chickweed and dandelion root that just pop up in my yard. It pops up in the, you know, the forest where I live. It pops up in the in town where there's a lot of disturbed land that's not great for growing anything. And this is where these invasive edible weeds are. And in their permaculture plants, they're trying to replenish the topsoil. They're bringing nutrients from beneath the earth crust up and back into to decompose on top of the earth. So just getting people connected to, oh, nature's trying to nurture me. There's plants in my ecosystem that have more nutrient density than even the supplements in the health food aisle that are $30 for a little bottle. That's, to me, more of the emphasis of plant-based diet than needing to label ourselves of I'm a raw vegan or I'm a carnivore, okay, or an omnivore or paleo or whatnot.
So just using what's growing naturally in your area is the main emphasis there.
It's using, but also actually I just want to shift because it's really about collaborating with our ecosystem. So we're shifting from being consumers to being collaborators of, can I take care of the plants in my ecosystem and they'll take care of me?
Okay, that's a good way to look at it. And then you get into the next chapter is all about improving your habits and your relationships, which is really, really interesting as far as bringing back health and energy.
Yeah, when people start to change their habits, they quickly realize that their habits are not their own. So habits like when we go to bed are often tied to when other people in our lives go to bed. And habits around when we eat are often tied with people as well. You know, whether we have a later dinner because our kids are at the gym after, you know, after school for their sport or whatnot, we often see that, oh, there's all these things that are connected. The other thing that I have a very often sobering effect on my course members and the people that really get in touch with the Yoga Healer podcast and with our course community, and what happens is we start to notice our habits around eating, drinking, smoking, the habits that we often have that are the stickier habits. Like, you know, say you enjoy a bowl of ice cream at night before you go to bed with your, you know, with your sweeties, and all of a sudden you're not doing that, but they still are. There's a trigger there to join them because A, you've done it in the past, and B, they're doing it right then as well. So other people are actually one of the five habit triggers that behavioral science scientists have identified. That we're triggered by five different things. One of the big things that we're triggered by is other people. So how to evolve your habits and relationship is to help people navigate that. When you're evolving your habits in the communities that you're in, which might not want to be in that same habit evolution trajectory that you are. So I wrote that chapter just giving people some guidelines to how to have some conversations about it and where to put attention and emphasis so that people don't feel like they need to, you know, A, convince other people that they need to get on board, or B, you know, lose hope in how they're doing if they aren't making progress as quickly as possible, as quickly as they want to, because of what everybody else is doing.
Fantastic. So it is a matter of enjoying the dance and just allowing them to see the changes in you rather than trying to get your whole tribe on board or everybody in your work or your home or things like that. So then you go on to self-massage. Now, this is an old Ayurvedic practice, too, to massage your body every day.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So if you look at, one of my favorite examples, actually, I'm going to look in my corner, is my cat on his cat tower, and he is the best self-massager I know. So every, you know, about twice a day, he cleans his whole body with his tongue. Humans used to use our hands a lot more to heal each other and also to heal ourselves. And it's natural, like when you bump something, you know, if you bump your elbow, it's natural to rub it for a moment. So this practice of hands-on healing is something we all know. It's something we all do. But in Ayurveda, it's a very well-developed habit. It's considered part of the natural daily routine. When babies are born, it's one of the first habits that is started. The baby is massaged until it can give itself a massage, which usually happens a little later. I notice with my kid, like, she's still much better at receiving a massage than giving herself a massage, but she does have the habit. And then as people get too old, when they can no longer do this practice for themselves, they then receive again. But for all those middle years, usually between about 8 years old and about, you know, 80 or 90 years old, it's up to you to be your hands-on healer. And so this practice, and for everyone listening, you can just actually do it for a second. Just start to massage one leg and just run your hands up and down your body and notice how it feels. Notice it's just a bit of a check-in. You're getting a lot of intuitive information. Your feet might be like, ooh, I want more attention. And then once you've done one leg, even just for a few seconds, notice the difference between that leg and the other leg. And you can start to feel the effect of what the yogis call prana. Prana is this life force energy. So when you're using your hands on your body and you're giving yourself even a quick 1 or 2 minute massage, you can also go up to whatever, 10 to 20 minutes. But a lot of people find that it's easier just to get in the habit with a minute or two.
Yes, there's so many ideas in this book and so many wonderful things to really get in sync with what your body's doing and how to help it function better. We're starting to run out of time, so I'd like you to tell people where you can find Body Thrive and also about the, it is a radio show or a podcast that you always do. Can you let our listeners know?
Yeah, so everything's at yogahealer.com. As far as the podcast, and that's where all of our, we've got lots of free tip sheets and great stuff over there at Yoga Healer. The podcast comes out at least once a week. And then at bodythrive.com is the first chapter of the book. So if you want to get a free chapter of Body Thrive, just go to bodythrive.com. And if you're interested in being in the course, you can also get information about what the course is and how I can walk you through these habits in a year so that you automate the habits that will give you really a great baseline of energy day after day as you age.
Fantastic book. Thank you so much for your writings, the Body Thrive book. I want to thank you for being on Health First Radio as well today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks also to our producer, Alan Wishart, and to all the community stations across Canada that carry our program. Have a healthy and happy day.